You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth. OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank, presented by iHeartRadio, right here on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth Levitt and the man with the best hands in the podcast business, OJ McDuffie. Juice, you know, we haven't said this in a while, but we are in the Wingfield living room. I don't know how much longer we're going to be in the Wingfield living room.
Yeah.
So I had to get one in.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. My hands are back, huh?
Your hands have
It fluctuates with you, Big Seth, man. But I'm glad they're back, man. I don't know what you're going to open with, man, but I'm glad my hands are back, bro.
So best hands is better than the only podcaster to be an honorary captain for a 70-point performance?
Nah, they're both about the same.
Okay.
I'll take both.
All right.
Take both of those.
Well, we're not alone here in the Wingfield living room. Man, a friend I haven't seen in a long time. Lorenzo Bromell dives into the tank. Low, bro, how you feeling, man?
I'm good, Seth.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, man.
You guys got to hang out Jack Thomas weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. It was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome, man. It was good to get back, see old guys, see my buddies. Man, so I don't know, man. You know how, like, family is. You can be gone. You might go to college, get a job, move around. But the family reunion come every time you see each other. It's like, I don't care how many years go by. It's just a smile on our face. Like, OJ, what's up? And it's genuine.
I love it.
You know, and Timbo. So, yeah. Awesome, man.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about you and Timbo, man. Because them two was hanging out. They was hanging out tough, Big Seth.
Were they this weekend?
Oh, yeah. But we're going to get into that.
Hold up, though, OJ. I got a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh.
So, when I got
already here,
I talked to Erica. Erica said, hey, you know what, Seth? I said, of course I know Seth. She was like, you know him and OJ got the podcast. I said, I didn't know that. He's like, I'm going to send you a clipping of Timbo. So I saw this wonderful podcast with the clip of Timbo, which is my big brother, by the way. And it was awesome and phenomenal. But you said something that was incorrect.
Uh-oh.
You said two people
fact checking
used to come in without suits. Remember, as a rookie, Jimmy Johnson came to me and said, Lo, I love your Timbos, I love your jeans. Just put a collar shirt on. So he allowed me to do that as a true rookie.
I didn't know you had that.
I had a little touch. Yeah. I was a little special for him.
So you were number three.
I was the third one.
So it was Troy?
Troy.
Timbo.
And you got that as a rookie.
Okay. I got that as a rookie.
How'd you pull that off?
Because he's bigger. He's a bad man.
And
he's
a grown-ass man. I was a pass rush specialist by the time I was done my rookie year. I got that designation as a rookie.
So maybe he did that for that. And the Yankees cap. I know it never came out.
I'm always wearing that. I grew up 181st Grand Concourse, 20 blocks from Yankee Stadium. I used to walk to Yankee Stadium with my granddaddy and watch it. My granddaddy, I'm not a baseball fan. I just love the Yankees because my granddaddy loved the Yankees. He loved two teams. And it didn't make sense when I was young. He loved the Yankees and he loved the L.A. Dodgers. Tommy Lasorda, I knew who he was, the general manager, even though I was in the South Bronx of New York. And one day when I got older, I asked my granddad, I was like, how you like the L.A. Dodgers and you from New York City? He said, young man, they used to be the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah, used to be from Brooklyn.
I said,
with the young man.
I said, okay, I got you. So now I kind of rock with them too.
I like it.
Let's talk about that attire. Let's talk about that New York Yankee hat that you always rock. You know, you talk about this attire on the plane that he was allowed to wear. I didn't realize. I wasn't that special. Jimmy wouldn't let me get away with that.
Did you ask?
No, I didn't ask, man, because, you know, Jimmy didn't like me. So I didn't, you know, so I just, you know, I left it as it was.
You might need to fact check that.
Yeah.
He loves you. He loves you.
All right. But you got the Yankees cap. You know, you rep the Yankees all the time. You have that New York kind of accent, that New York vibe. But you're from South Carolina, though.
Sure am.
Please help me, reconcile that.
Let me break this down to you. So I'm the youngest. So everybody in my family in New York, nobody called me Lorenzo. Everybody calls me Baby. I had Baby before Cash Money Baby. I don't know if he older than me.
All the babies, a bunch of babies.
But I'm going to be honest. I hated that name as a kid.
Yeah.
Like my aunts, uncles, everybody, Baby, I'm in the middle of New York City. I'm like, damn, that's somebody calling me. Like, who calling me, right? So what happened is my mom and dad got married early. My mom and dad split. My mom left after I was born and took my older brother and I to New York, where she from. My mom grew up in New York, but she got in trouble in high school. My grandma sent her down south. And you know, back in like the 70s and 60s, shit, you get married at 15, 16 years old normally because you probably got pregnant.
Pregnant, yeah.
So that's what happened with my dad. So they split. She left when I was probably 6 months, 5 months. I was a baby. And she raised me and my brother in New York City all the way to high. I came down south in high school.
So like as an infant, you went to New York?
Yeah, baby. Oh, okay. She took me, and my brother's 2 years older than me, Orlando, which is my older brother. Now, our older sister died as a baby, so they had three kids. But she left when I was about 6 months, maybe 7 months. My aunt came and got her, moved us back. We didn't go to the Bronx, though. We went to Harlem. That's where my family from, 115 in Lenox, which is Foster Projects. And we were there, then we moved to the Bronx, and then I was there until I was in high school. Started getting in trouble, and my mom sent me down south. And I remember telling her, she came to me and was like, you gotta go. And I was like, I'm not going nowhere. I'm probably 15, 16. And she was like, you getting out of here. You don't pay no bills, you getting up out of this house. And she sent me. Reluctantly, I went. But be honest with you, that saved my life. Mm. Because if I'd have stayed in New York, I was either going to be in jail or dead or whatever. And it wasn't that I was a bad kid. It's just what's around
you. Environment. Right.
It's your environment. It's kind of hard to hopscotch. And my mom did a great job. My mom was NYPD. But school division, you know, up north, you know, Juice, in Ohio, I was going through metal detectors since I was in middle school. That's nothing new. You know what I'm saying? So it was that type of environment already.
So who all went back? Did you and Orlando go back?
Or no, my mom sent my brother probably 2 years before me because he was already getting into stuff. So she saw the blueprint work with him and kind of straightened it. Because you know, the South's slower.
But she was trying to keep baby home.
Yeah. And then after a while, she
baby
was like,
couldn't act
out.
Right.
And it was the best decision she did.
I love it. Well, the part of the reason I'm trying to connect these dots, right, is because, well, first of all, in your bio, anything I look, there's no, New York is nowhere. It's only those of us who know you, anybody who's heard you and certainly seen that chat, the New York thing. Says you were born in South Carolina, says you graduated from Choppy High School
in
South Carolina.
Very good little school. I'm going to tell you, it's star-studded, man. There's some great players. The greatest player, in my opinion, that came from my little 1A school is Jumpy Gather.
I thought you were going to say Baby Bowl.
Most guys heard of him, Super Bowl championship. Yeah. And he had a couple brothers, quite a few gathers that's in the NFL.
Okay, well, so this is why I wanted to ask you the question, because you talk about quite a few gathers. I happened to, crazy I found it, but online, it was a 1990 Choppy High yearbook.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, I'm going to find Lorenzo Bromell's photo. And I was like, okay, you're a couple years younger than me. You're probably a freshman around this time that this book came out. Bro, there had to be 18 Bromells in this. I called Juice. I'm like, Juice, there's this Bromell and that Bromell.
Every class covered.
Orlando Bromell was there.
Sean
Bromell
Clarence,
was there. Felicia Bromell. I can't do the math here.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find Lorenzo Bromell. So every Bromell in the book was there. There was another one with an L. And I was like, I don't
Lonnie.
Think it. Yeah, maybe it was Lonnie.
Yeah, Lonnie, my cousin Lonnie. Yeah, it was a bunch of us, man.
So, I mean, was it just Bromells and Gathers in the school?
No, you know, it's funny. Well, at that school, it is. And that's kind of how that area is kind of separated. So, for example, where my surname comes from, Bromells, we own 300 acres of land back there. Because we, literally, where my dad them from, we in between. Let me see. Everybody heard of Myrtle Beach.
Correct.
Myrtle Beach is like 20 minutes from my dad's house. Georgetown, some people heard of Georgetown. But
I've only heard of it because that's what they said. Was the school in Georgetown?
Yeah, it's in Georgetown County. It's really in Choppy.
Got it.
That's not Georgetown. But literally
are you
from.
You taking notes?
You know how the South is? It's like 12 miles, just another little city, another 15. It's like that, man. But it's a small country town. But a lot of good athletes are from that area. You heard of Ray Allen?
Of course.
Ray Allen went to Hillcrest High School, which is in Sumter, 25 minutes from where my dad is.
So he had to play every Bromell that was there.
Pretty much. But in basketball.
Yeah. Right. Well, Sean Bromell was on every team.
Yeah, he was.
He was on the track team. He was on the
baseball
team.
He saw that.
I was digging through this book. I was like, choose every page. There's three more Bromells.
It's a lot. And I'm going to say this to be honest. I'm not lying to you guys. Like, my family is very, very athletic kind of guys. Like, most of them would have easily went to the NFL, but The Choppy didn't really push my area so much. They pushed where Jumpy family was from.
Gotcha.
Not there's no knock on the Gathers, but that area where they from, they kind of pushed those guys. My area where we from was more of the country badder guys. You know, you could say, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
I got a little more stuff going on in right. those areas.
Yeah.
Now, not saying the other ones didn't, but it was just like a stigma to our guys. So we really didn't get any help, to be honest. My senior year in high school, nobody even knew who I was. I got drafted. I signed with Auburn University out of high school, but my grades were so bad that I had to go to Georgia Military.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
And he gave me a little nugget, Big Seth, a second ago about going to the JUCO, Georgia Military. But we're going to talk about that in a second. Well, so let's go. You went from Choppy to Georgia Military College to Clemson.
Yep.
Right, which is a sore spot for me because he told me that Joe Paterno wanted him to come to Penn State.
He did.
And personally.
On the phone.
Go to Penn State.
I couldn't go for my dad. I'm going to tell you something, man. My dad, man, I love my mom and my dad, both of them, man. But I tell you what, growing up the way I did and not having my dad there, like, I kind of resented him when I was young. But I thank God for the good kind of mom I had, because I remember I was getting a little older, and I remember one day I came in the house and I was like, yo, why daddy not here? You know, trying to, you know, getting grown up thing. My mom, really, I had to get picked up from where he's sitting at on the chair over there with the computer. And she said, get back over here. Don't you disrespect your father in this house. We not together because of the grown up thing. Your dad love you. Y'all have a dad. Even though he all the way down in South Carolina, you have a dad. Now, another thing she did, anytime we were out of school, we had to go down south. I was flying on planes or taking that long Greyhound bus since I was a kid going down there. So she forced that relationship. And the first time I went down there, I remember OJ and Seth, I was like, man, I want to go down to no dang on South Carolina. But guess what? I'm down there shooting guns. I'm riding four-wheelers. Yeah. I'm riding dirt bikes. I'm riding horses. We got so much land. I'm like, yo, I love it out here.
Yes,
so I used to look forward to it. And really, that's when football really got introduced to me. Up north, I was really good in basketball.
Right.
Like, up north, basketball is what it is.
Of course.
But down south, it's a little bit of both in the country. But football, the major. Yeah. And my family were really good. So I was like, all right, I got to get anywhere I fit.
Where does the Penn State thing come in?
All right. Getting to that, right? I end up going to Georgia
Military. I'm all in, but I don't get it.
Well, so I'm going from I'll go to Georgia Military. I'm highly recruited out of Georgia Military. I think my sophomore year I had 16, 17 sacks. First year I ever played defensive line in my life. I played middle linebacker in high school, and I was very good and tight end. So I go to Georgia Military. We so studded at Georgia Military, I don't even play defense as a freshman. I played tight end as a freshman. Sophomore year, spring practice come up. Robert Nunn, remember Robert Nunn?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Oh, I'm going to give you a story. You don't remember this, Juice? At the end of my rookie year, after we lost to Denver, second round of play, they spanked us too.
They did.
Remember?
They did.
We had to do our exit meeting.
Right.
You don't remember Jimmy up there on the stage at the end of the meeting and said, hey, Lowe. And everybody looked back. And the D-line, we all way in the back.
Always
in the back, right? And he said, we finally got somebody that could calm you. He said something like that could calm down. And everybody looked like, who? Who you got that could calm him down? He said, Robert Nunn. And I remember my smile dropped.
Oh, so he knew there was history.
Yeah.
Jimmy knew.
Robert Nunn is an excellent, phenomenal coach. Robert Nunn came to get me before you had the spring ball. Remember, I played tight end my freshman year. Now I have every school in the country sending me recruit letters.
Yep.
I'm 6 foot six and a half. I'm running like the wind. I can jump, catch. I can do everything.
Yeah. Modest as hell.
I'm messing with you, man. 6'6" and a half. When I played in the NFL, there was no 6'6 and a half
tight
end.
Right, that's correct.
That's why I'm telling you. You see what I'm saying?
Correct.
Troy was this, but Troy's 6'4", 6'3".
Yeah.
And he was one of the bigger guys.
Right.
So I was like I was before a Jimmy Graham size guy coming in, right? So I didn't want to transfer.
Right.
So the spring ball coming up, Robert Nunn called me to his office. I go in his office and he said, Lorenzo, sit down. I'm thinking, dang, what did I do that he caught me and I don't know? He said, you're going to move to defensive end. I was like, defensive end? I was like, nah, I'm good. I never played that, coach. He said, trust me. You're going to be like a fish in the water. And literally, that's what it was. I never played defensive end in my life. I played middle linebacker in high school. But that's when Penn State, Joe Paterno came, because now I graduated, played defensive end, had a bunch of sacks in the first year I ever played it. Joe Paterno used to call my house. They was recruiting me. And he said, you come here, we'll take care of everything. I didn't read between the lines, but that was my first choice.
Right.
But my daddy's from what state?
South Carolina.
What school did I go to?
Clemson.
Clemson. I try to make that a shorter drive for my dad, because for 2 years, my daddy ain't missed no games.
Right.
And OJ could tell you this right now, for 4 years that I got here, my daddy ain't missed probably 2 games, and that was because of funeral.
Right.
Wow.
I remember the time I came in the locker room, my dad, when I walked in in our cafeteria, Dan Marino sitting here, Jimmy Johnson sitting here, Jason, Zach, my daddy, my cousin, all kind of people.
Your dad fit right in, huh?
And I walked in that door. I promise you I remember this. I walked in the cafeteria, and Jimmy, hey, Lo, how you ain't tell us Mr. Bromell coming Friday? He said in front of everybody, Mr. Bromell, we know you going to be here. Any Friday you get here early, come and watch us practice and have lunch with us. That's the biggest compliment I could give to the biggest thing I can give to my dad is something I'll never forget.
Yeah, right.
Because that make me feel good. It's like, dang, that's an appreciation for you supporting me.
He must have just love it. He was in heaven.
He was a humble country guy.
Sitting with Dan Marino, and he said,
but all he cared about, he hated us losing. Like, my father loved the Dolphins. He loved us. He loved the guy. He asked about them. I mean, you talk to any of the guys?
Yeah,
like that. I ain't seen him in a while, but he's plugged in, man. He built a relationship like I did the 4 years I was here.
Right, that's
dope, man.
Let's talk about 1998, Lo. Mm-hmm. Kenny Mixon's drafted in the second round. You're drafted in the fourth round.
Yes, sir.
And you guys already had a D-line that had a few vets already in there. You know, Trace Armstrong, Timbo, even Danny Stubbs was in there.
Yeah.
You know, then you had some young talented dudes. Darryl Gardner.
Darryl,
Shane Burton.
Yeah.
JT, of course, I think was in his second year.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you and Kenny.
Yep.
The Young Bucks, you know. I mean, talk about that room and explain to me and Seth, how you guys got anything done with that crew? I mean, seriously.
I'm going to be honest with you. It was hard to get a lot done, seriously. off the field, but one thing I respect, man, we love, supported, and encouraged each other. Like, extremely, extremely hard. Very competitively, brotherly, competitively loved. Like, we was not having it. Like, we walked in there. I'm going to tell you right now, from the gate, coming into the Miami, Timbo, my big brother, I love him. I tell everybody, that's my brother. I've known OJ and you, Seth, for 25 years.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
I got drafted in 1998. Yeah. You count the years. Yeah. And I don't
do
think
the
that,
math, as Shorty would say.
Math. Yeah, and the math is mathing on this. So the point is, we had a standard with Tim. We had a standard with Darryl. We had a standard with Trace. Trace was the professional. He learned the plays, Lo. Like, you can be as good as you want. If you don't know the plays, we can't play you. We need you out here. And it was a lot of pressure on me, too, because to be honest with you, I don't know if you guys ever paid attention. I played every position on D-line.
You did.
I played right in.
That's what you get for being
6'6".
That's what you get for being 6'6 and big and athletic.
Yeah, but not really big. Big to y'all.
Yeah.
Think about it. I weighed 240-something pounds.
240.
Yeah.
See, they listen to him at 260.
Yeah, huh? Right. Because they got you. Yeah. Why? On nickel and dime, where was I starting at?
No, I know, because JT, inside, they listed
inside,
240
inside,
and he was 235.
So they put me and JT, I'm going to tell you like this. Me and JT, I might have outweighed JT for probably the first 3 years by 5 pounds.
Yeah.
So we was always very close. JT and I used to sneak to the weight room and go slip 2.5 pounds in our girdles, because you know we had a weight.
Yeah.
So me and JT be click, 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 walking. So when I'm walking to John, right, I'm always walking to John with my hands.
Hands on your pocket?
He's like, hey, little fella, get your hands out your pocket. I'm like, yeah. And we get up there, oh, yeah, you 245, 250, low. Go ahead, I don't get fined. So right. We were little. But see, the thing about it is Jimmy had me playing. Jimmy had, and back then that was Coach, it wasn't CB at first. Remember,
Cadet, we had Kerry Cadet.
Kerry Cadet. Coach said, Lo, you got to play right end, right tackle, left defensive tackle, left defensive end, stand up linebacker. I'm the only one on that four that did that. So I had to learn more plays than everybody else.
Right.
So what it was is once Jimmy and they start telling me, they said, Lowe, you're gonna be more valuable because we can move you around anywhere. Now, they ain't gonna put me on first and second down
right.
at tackle. Obviously, I'm 260, but on passing down now, that puts a disadvantage on who? The offense.
Right.
That guard gonna have a hard time keeping up with me down there in them trenches.
Yeah.
So we played smart. We maximized our abilities. We had more speed on the field. Jason, me, Trace, right? Then you got a real big, you know, Darryl was a big, fast 4.74
sure
guy who's 330.
Right.
So he was the plug in there. We were very dominant. And I'm telling you, it was competitive. And we make train noises, crashes. If you got ran over, you're going to hear about it.
I love it.
You're going to hear about it.
Oh, that's too good.
Yeah.
That's too good.
Yeah.
So we spoke with Trace. I told you we made a few phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
And he said it was the best D-line room. And, you know, Trace had played a long time.
Yeah.
He played Chicago. He said, but that was the most fun he ever had.
Yep.
On and off the field. I mean, he worked hard, but you guys had a great time.
Great time.
But he said in those meeting rooms, he said, ask Lorenzo what I did to him and Kenny if they ever fell asleep in a meeting room.
Yeah, he would do all kind of things. I'm trying to remember, man. He'd be throwing things at you. Trace didn't play that. Now, he was very serious about that. Remember you heard me mention earlier? Because he told me that. Like, because, you know, it's hard. For me, I was like, okay, I'm at tackle on this play. What was it called? So now it might be something totally different than if I'm at end. I might got to drop.
Right.
So I used to mess up a little bit. My rookie year.
Well, he said he would write obscene notes on your back.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of stuff. Trace would do anything. But guess what? When we walked in that locker room, we had that plan, we had that mission, and we stuck together. I love that defense. Out of all the teams, the four teams I played for, this is by far my favorite team. For one, I did the most time here. You know what I'm saying? I love the Dolphins.
You made it sound like it was a damn prison sentence.
Yeah, it was a bit. Them contracts are big.
That's right.
Hopefully you can get out sometime.
That's fair enough. But Trace also said, he goes, but you got to ask him about the three-man games. He goes, I think half, if not more, of his sacks came on running those three-man games.
No, I ain't got no half. Now, I probably got a good number. I probably got about 6 or 7 out of that. But we were good at it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. With think about it. Trace Armstrong, me, and JT. I'm not using Darryl on that situation because Darryl can just be the guy on his own. But you got three pretty athletic guys that can move around a little bit. And we kind of sending Darryl this way and I'm this way and Trace coming around this way or vice versa with JT coming. It was a problem. Literally it was a problem, man. But we were really good at those games, two-man games and three-man games. So we maximized it. I loved it, man. I tell you what, here go a little trivia for you guys. Go Google from 1998 to 2002. Go Google our rankings on defense. There's only three categories, run defense, pass defense, and sacks.
Yep.
See what we ranked in them 4 years
that
I was here. I can tell you right now, it was one in every category. I think the least we might have been is two in one of the three, but mostly it was 1-1-1. 1-2-1, something like that. It was always losing the top three on defense.
Forget Google. Yeah. We got Bromell.
We got it.
Facts.
Prove it wrong.
I love it. Yeah.
And it wasn't the D-line on
it. I'm going to tell them.
You can't get sacks without the guys in the back.
I mean, we know.
Sam and Pat.
Right.
Brock, Marion.
Yeah.
I mean, we were stacked, man.
Yeah.
Damn, man. Don't even talk about how stacked we were and we didn't get anything done. Anyhow. You know, but it wasn't all fun and games, as we all know. You know what I mean? I recall that you and Timbo at one point, had your big brother Timbo had a little beef.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
That was one time. It was the only one time we had an issue like that. So
usually all it takes is one time.
I'll tell you, Sam, one person I don't want to have beef with is Timbo. But Bromell, no time.
And it really, I'm going to say this. It really wasn't beef, but what it is we crack on each other like we usually do. And we was in our D-line meeting room. So I said something to Tim. He guessed it. He didn't like it. He said something back to me. I didn't like it. And then we kind of shot jabs at each other. We was playing racquetball with each other for a little while. And all of a sudden, he jumped up. You know, Tim stood up. So what do you say? I jumped up.
Oh, boy.
What's good?
Right.
Furniture moving up.
Yeah, you know, it was very contentious, man. And then really, ultimately, they sent me home. And I didn't like that now, to be honest, because at that time, who we had, it was CB then. CB said, go home, Lo. Go home? What do you mean I go home? What about Tim?
Right.
You go. And then Dave Weinstadt came in there and told me to leave, and I ended up leaving. And what's funny is, usually something like that happened, we're going to get over it tomorrow. But really, it went 4 or 5 weeks.
It festered. Ooh.
Like, it festered. And I'm going to tell you, one day I came into the locker room early in the morning, and when I did, I knew something was up. Because, you know, we coming in through the side door,
the whole damn team
was right there. Like everybody looking at the gate. I mean, come here, Lo. So I walked straight to the crowd. I'm like, what's up, man? They was like, yo, man, look, this is spewing over to games. Mm. Like, we don't operate like that. And Timbo was sitting in his locker. I'm standing here. And he was like, y'all got to hug it out. And Timbo yelled out some obscenity to me. And I shot one back. And then he said something like, Lo, no, I love him. And I said, you know, that I love him, huh? Too.
Yeah,
and we hugged. And then we went right back to business. It wasn't nothing serious, but we kind of got our prides in it, and we kind of didn't talk for a while.
Big Seth, man, they're still tight.
You
should have seen the real estate they were holding up at Jack's thing. They had the best spot in the house, man.
Yeah,
they were back in the cut.
Who was going to ask him to move?
Nobody.
They probably asked some other people to move.
Going to work every day and Tim Bowens is pissed at you?
Oh, man.
Yeah, Timbo a problem, man. He a good problem on your side.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a New York kid, too. I ain't scared of Tim.
Right.
Tim is Tim, and that's my big brother. I love him, respect him. But if he got to beat me up, he got to beat me up.
Yeah.
I'm a man.
Right.
I'm in that type. That's the type of energy I go with. So, but we're going to fight every day. He know that, too.
Yeah.
So maybe he's going to get tired one day, big fella. I can't do that with Tim in the natural.
I've seen this
man strip gears. You know what I mean by that, Seth? In our film room, when that ball snapped, everybody's supposed to be going what? Forward.
Right.
I've seen this man take grown men that outweigh me literally by 100 pounds and strip them in reverse where they were going forward, and then when they met him, they starting to go backwards. I done seen that for years. That man is ridiculously strong.
That's so funny you say that.
Shot out like a cannon.
Dixon used to say he had no reverse in his gearbox. So that, for you to say
he was
gears,
a problem. Yeah, Tim Bowens was one of the best, by far, in my opinion, one of the best defensive tackles I played with. By far. Yeah. You're not moving them off the line. You've got to have two on them. And good luck with two.
Right. Selfless. So, yeah. Selfless, too. So I'm going backwards now. We're bouncing around, but going back
to that's a great interview.
Well, good. I'm glad you approved.
You don't want to be on the court like, oh, right. You're seeing a violin now.
Do we approve? Producer approves. All right, cool. So, but your rookie year, you talked about how collectively you guys were a problem. You set or tied a team record with 8 sacks.
Yeah,
Bill Stanfield. So that was the team record.
19, 16. I still currently co-own.
Yeah, well, actually, Jalen Phillips just got you.
This year?
Well, he's in his third year now. So he got 8.5. In his rookie year.
All right, I'm still on the list.
You're still on the list.
How many years? 24 years?
Right.
Well, I don't have a little extra jacket over here? Should I have a jacket?
We got to go talk to somebody about that. Yeah,
I held this for 25 years.
Thankfully, I'm just a podcast host these days. I don't have to deal with it. But so talk about that. Why were you able to find that kind of success? I mean, you know, you did talk about all the different things. You had to learn all the different positions.
Yeah.
But for a guy who really just started playing defensive end 3 years earlier, how were you able to find that kind of success at this level that quickly?
Man, it was just a natural position for me, man. I can run like the wind. I'm strong. Even though I was small as a D lineman, I was strong. I used to do 315 12, 13, 14 times.
Yeah, man.
Think about that. At 235, 240. So I was strong. I had good
hands.
And
with long arms.
And long arms getting it done, yeah.
Plus, I'm going to be honest with you, Seth. I think personally, I think my martial arts. Because I took martial arts growing up.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
And literally, I used to even fight in tournaments. Now, I'm not saying I was some great fighter in a tournament, but I knew how to fight. And literally, in football, it's the same concept. An offensive lineman, I don't care how big he is. This is what I tell young kids. This is what I teach my little 8-year-old. He got to step, and he got to do what? Get his hands. So what's the difference between somebody punching at you or reaching to hit you with his hand? If I'm deflecting that hand and moving my body that way, I'm clearly out of his way. I got body control. I'm just running around.
Still got the bend.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm telling you, for real, the end of my rookie. So like you said, my rookie, I had 8 sacks, right? I had 8 sacks as a rookie. I led all rookies in sacks that year. I also made the Pro Bowl as a rookie, as an alternate.
Right.
And I wasn't happy. Jimmy said it at the end when they call out the Pro Bowl people, because I think Timbo made it my rookie year in 98, or Zach. One of them, one of the year was somebody, it was only like two of us.
Zach might have made it.
Zach was 98 or Tim was 98, one of the two. Because then it was somebody else, I think, on special team for us. And then he was like, and last but not least, Lorenzo made it as an alternate. And I remember everybody was like, oh, yelling like, Lo, what's up? And I'm like, what the hell is the alternate? Right. And they was like, I was like, and then they was like, oh, you know, if one of the starters don't go or get hurt, you'd be that guy. I'm like, man, I don't want that. I remember saying that. Jimmy saw that. Jimmy walked over there to me and said, Lo, you don't seem too happy. I said, man, I made it as an alternate. He said, you're a rookie. He said, rookies don't make it.
Right.
No kind of way.
Correct.
And he, when he said that, he kind of said, he said, you got to look, you special. Don't take that. That's a compliment. And then I was like, all right, cool. But yeah.
I mean, hell, I was 8 years in and didn't get alternate.
Led the league in receptions.
Led the league in the same year, same year.
That's highway robbery. That was 98. You're right.
And the other thing, too, as a rookie that I'm proud of, I didn't get it, but I was a finalist for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Right? Yeah.
Me and Charles Wilson was the two ballots.
Yeah, he was pretty
obviously,
good, too.
Charles Wilson went to Michigan, won the Heisman. He had 5 interceptions our rookie year. I ended up playing with Woody. I started with the Raiders. But we and him used to shoot jab. Like, how you get rookie of the year? You had 5 sacks, 5
you carried
interceptions.
You carry that with you?
Yeah. I had a problem with that. I said, I had 8.
He's got a gold jacket now.
Yeah. He did.
But yeah, you know. Started to end the well.
I had a problem with that.
Yeah.
A problem.
But he came in as the first round, and you should have a gold jacket. You're going to do at least 4-5, man.
There it is.
How many sacks I'm going to have in 5 years?
I like it.
Good point. Lo, we've talked about Kenny Mixon a lot.
Yeah.
Partly because you guys are drafted in the same class, and of course that makes a lot of sense. But you guys also forged a hell of a friendship along the way too, man. Talk about that bond between you and Kenny.
Man, that's my brother, man. I ain't seen Kenny now though in probably maybe like 7 months or 8 months. But Kenny, I still see Kenny where I live in the Panhandle because I'm right off of 10. So you know he's from Jennings, Louisiana. So he was somewhere in between like Tampa, Orlando. So anytime he drive home, he'll call me like, Lo, I'm on 10. I'm like, yo, man, I'm at the house. Come on by. And I'll be trying to keep him to stay at the house. So he'll come and chill with the family.
Nice.
And stuff like that. So we still get along, still talk. But I don't talk to him as much since he moved back to Jennings. But he's doing okay. You know, obviously he had a tough pill, man, with Aubrey quite a few years back. You know, it's funny, man. Aubrey, I held as a kid. Patrick Surtain Jr., I held it, you know, me and Pat, like, you know, me, Pat, and Kenny came in together. So we're like brothers, like, for real. And I remember both of their kids, little boys at that time and stuff. And, you know, it hurt Kenny ever since that happened with his son on and stuff, obviously. But, you know, he's doing all right. He's doing the best as he can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that special relationship you got, no matter what.
Yeah, man.
I love that part about it.
Yeah, man. I love
like basketball. Me and TK were in the same draft
class.
So I get it.
Yeah. He was, that's my brother, man. And if anything he ever need, anything I ever need, we can call on each other. I talked to his mama. His mama still called me son. So,
that's great.
Yeah, they're good people,
Does
man.
Does she call you baby?
No, she don't call me baby.
All right, Lo. So here's the moment we've been waiting for.
Talk to me.
November 11th, 2001. I don't know if the date jumps out at you, but we'll connect the dots. We're in Indy.
Indianapolis.
Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Colts are up 24-20. They're driving.
Oh, yeah. And
we don't want them to go up 2 scores.
Yeah.
3rd and 13.
Yeah.
JT beats the left tackle like a drum.
Mm-hmm.
You and Trace do play a little game. Trace pulls his man inside.
We ran an ET.
Yeah. And you come flying around. JT blasts Peyton right into you, who drills him right under his helmet.
Yeah. I do remember that. That was bad. That was $15,500 fine. Yeah,
and a broken jaw.
But I'm gonna tell you, I got a bone to pick with that.
Okay.
With the NFL, because what they did was they retroactive me. See, that that year, which was my fourth year, right? So that's the year I got franchised. I got the franchise tag. They had to pay me. They didn't want to pay me, but they had to. So this is the first year I'm making $1 million in one season. This is my fourth year finally. Now, I've been productive, hyper-productive for 3 years.
Right.
I think in, what, 4 years here, I had, what, 22 sacks, 23 sacks?
Yeah,
something like that.
Right.
Right? That ain't too bad, right? So what they did was we played Carolina before Indy, the week before that. And Chris Winkie was the starting quarterback. I don't know if you remember, OJ, I caught him up there and I caught him on a sack and broke his ribs. He had to come out the game. Then they brought in Damian Craig, who's my classmate from Auburn. I knocked him out with a concussion. Who was our photographer back when we played?
Wasn't Dave Cross.
Yeah, man, I love that guy. He had a picture. I had a picture.
He's on the Harley.
Yeah. Hey, he rides bike. Yeah. You know, I used to ride bike. That's why I knew him. And he used to go to the track and be like, "Lo, you should bring your bike out there." Cool guy, man. But he showed me a picture of when they brought Damian Craig in. I knocked him out with a concussion. And that picture, you see when I'm hitting him, right, his body like jolting and his helmet like, it's suspended in air. You can. The guy took like a series of his helmet going up in the air, and I said, "Oh snap!" End of the story. We beat them. Come back. We're getting ready for Indy the 11th weekend. No Manila folder on my chair. None.
Okay.
You know what? That is, right?
No, I've never been fined by the league, but.
Oh, wow, you got a lot of favor.
He's on the other side of the ball.
But OJ
he's probably
was tough.
Paying a uniform.
OJ was tough, man. I seen what OJ used to do to them defenders, man. Listen, I don't know how you got away with that assault like
right,
that.
Right. I couldn't get away with it now, though. Not anymore.
Hey, for real. So the following week, we go play Indy. Unfortunately, he, you know, broke his jaw. That following
Didn't break his jaw. You broke his jaw.
Well, yeah, it happened, right? That next Wednesday, I had two Manila folders on my chair.
Yeah.
And I remember opening them. First one I saw, it says the NFL has fined you $12,500 for breaking Chris Winkie's rib. I was like, that was 2 weeks ago.
Right. X-rays just came back.
So I opened the second one. You've been fined $15,500 for breaking Peyton Manning's jaw. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. Do the math, $15,000, $12,000. Yeah, and then I got fined. Then I had to go to the board.
Right.
They asked me to come to the board, and they told me, they said, Mr. Bro, they said, Lorenzo, you can't keep playing like that. You're hurting too many premier quarterbacks. So they said, you're going to have to kind of dial it back, or we're going to continue to fine you. So this is my God honest truth, what I told them. I said, well, you better have your pen ready, because if I listen to y'all and I change the way I play football, I'm going to be watching it instead of playing it. And they were like, all right. And I was like, all right, you have a good day. Hung the phone up.
That was it.
That was it.
Now, have you heard? So Peyton went on Pat McAfee's show.
Oh, did
he? Haven't you heard him tell the story?
This. No.
Oh, you got to watch this, bro. We'll have to play it for you before you leave here.
He said I said some things to him?
No, he was totally cool. I don't think he said that.
Nah.
But he was, as Ray Lucas would say, he was spitting ketchup for sure, right? But he said they fined you $2,500. And he's like, I think he had it in cash on him at the game.
He's crazy.
He's
a good guy.
He's a great entertainer.
He's tearing it up.
But then he said that your agent called his agent and said, Lorenzo's asking if you'll speak on his behalf to the NFL because you're appealing the fine.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't. My jaw's wired shut.
That's a good one.
So I guess there was a little bit of a...
You know what's funny, too? I'm going to tell you what else is funny. So I played with the Giants. Yeah. Right? In 04, who we drafted?
I don't know.
Eli.
Oh, okay.
So I remember when Eli came up to the...
Actually, he didn't draft Eli.
They arranged it.
Right.
So
right.
The point is, I remember in training, I remember when Eli got there. Eli, good guy, man. Very quiet. You know, he's funny when you know him.
He's funny now. His personality is way out now.
He has evolved. When he first came in...
He went to Penn State for a practice.
Oh. For a prank.
Wow, that was a whole. This later in life.
Go ahead.
It's one of those prank deals.
Yeah, good.
But I told him, I could tell when I got around him the first time. He's a rookie, obviously. I'm in my seventh year at that time. So he kind of shell shocked. And I said, look, man, I came to him, I said, look, man, I never meant to do hit break your brother's jaw. That just kind of happened. And I said, we teammates, so you don't got to worry about nothing, man. So he kind of gave me a smile like, okay, thank you, sir.
He right, probably liked right, it, you yeah, broke his yeah. jaw. I don't know.
Yeah,
little right. brother, brother, sibling
little
rivalry.
Brother
right.
rivalry.
Right, right, right. Too funny.
Good stuff, man. You know, we talked a little bit about JT, and obviously you guys played a lot, you know, opposite each other. And then, of course, you're in the same meeting room. And even, you know, hell, even met the same quarterback as we just right? talked
on
about.
One, yeah.
On the case, yeah. yeah. Couple that with Zach, who, of course, you know, we spent a lot of time with this past weekend, getting his Hall of Fame ring. When you look back at that time period, how awesome was it knowing you played with two of the greatest players to ever play on the football field? You know, for me, you know, I always get the Marino moment. Mm. You know, I got the JT moment. Now I had the Zach moment this past weekend. Yeah. How awesome is it for you that, you know, play with those guys as well?
Man, it's super awesome, man. Very humbling. Like I said, we were more like family anyway. I never been jealous of JT's success while I was here doing our time together, or Trace, or Tim, or Zach. We all had that same kindred spirit. And to be honest with you, OJ, you know me, I was the more vocal one. I'm talking, you know what, out there. You big.
Ain't anybody surprised at this
yeah.
point?
Like, literally, I kind of brought that energy. Like, and I, so literally, I've started on nickel and dime since the day I came to the Dolphins.
Yep.
The only thing I didn't start on here was bass.
Right.
That Jason started bass, but he also started nickel and dime. And Trace didn't start bass. He started nickel and dime.
Right.
So we were the pass rush crew. So for me, man, the better you are, the better you are, the better he is, the better I am, the more we gonna eat. So it was that type of mindset. And I think that kind of came from Robert Nunn, to be honest.
Wow.
Because my JUCO is a powerhouse, especially back then. If you Google Georgia Military, I lost one game in 2 years. And there's nothing but talent that comes through that every year, right? And the point is, I had a friend, my best friend in the world, Pepe Zeldner. He played 6 years in the league and all that. Very, very physical defensive end. And he was, for me, he pushed me the hardest out of any other player I ever played against. I'm talking about because we both starting every day. So
right.
now it's just like if I started at left end, it would have been the same kind of energy with Trace, with JT.
Right.
Me and JT always shared the side, and on nickel, we kind of split and go where we want to go.
Yeah.
So it was never, we were never really competing, in my opinion, because on nickel and dime, we both always out here. So that's why I like football, because I want you to eat, JT. Because when you eat, it's going to free up me. And if I'm eating, it's going to free up somebody else. So we had that bond. And I think that's why we did so well. I'm telling you, really look at the stats on those three areas, and especially the number of sacks. We were a 50-something sack team every year I was here.
Yeah.
Like, we were always 50-something sacks in the higher echelon leading the league. What that means, all of us are what? Eating and working. That's the mindset of a good defensive line. When you got seven guys that's eating like that, who you blocking?
Yeah.
That's the problem. So that's the mindset I've always had. Take the jealousy out of it. You know why I like that Wilkins kid? Not just because he's from Clemson. You see his energy?
Yeah.
OJ, don't that kind of remind me, I don't know when you was on the sideline from time to time. Ask Sam when you interviewed him. Ask Pat when you interview him. Ask Zach if you interview him. What kind of energy Low brought in when he came in? Oh, Low coming in. They you can hear Sam. Hey! Come on, Low.
Coach Sam.
Already running in.
I like to call him Coach Sam. Now.
Yeah.
Right.
But, hey, man, that's why I love football. You need all 11 pieces.
Greatest team sport 1,000%.
Not even a question. So, Low, we talk about, you know, how you put the fear in quarterbacks, especially, you know, during two-minute drill.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we're going to put the fear in you right now, because we're going to do a little bit of our own fist tank two-minute drill.
Okay. Here. Okay.
So we're going to put 2 minutes up on the clock.
Okay.
We're going to throw some hard-hitting, fast-action questions at you.
Okay.
And see how you respond, all right?
Bring it on.
Are you ready?
I'm ready, man.
All right.
Don't hurt me now.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Okay. We have clearly established your love for all things New York.
Absolutely.
That omnipresent Yankees cap.
That's right.
Who does Lorenzo Bromel think is the greatest New York Yankee of all time?
Greatest New York Yankee? Ah, man, I guess A-Rod, man. I think.
Of all time. Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle. Ooh. You're going A-Rod.
You're going to get some true Yankee people that would be like, what? He's not a true Yankee?
Oh, man.
No, I'm going to say A-Rod because he did it on and off the field.
I thought you were going to say on and off.
Yeah, because you know what? Yeah, okay. The sport is one phase. One aspect,
yeah.
But what legacy you got behind it.
Yeah.
Okay, don't get me wrong. And sometimes we put all our eggs in just the sport we do, but we got a long life after that.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's why I kind of say greatest over totality.
I got you.
All right, there
I
it is. Yeah. Clock is running, as right. Jimmy would say. Sorry. No, you're good. 2 minutes.
You studied Kung Fu as a kid, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Did your Kung Fu school use the slash system as well? And if so, what color did you rank up to?
We did use the slash system, and I believe the highest I got was like a brown belt slash, almost brown blackish.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you said you weren't the best at it.
I wasn't the best.
Right.
But I was pretty good.
Yeah. I wasn't the best, but I was pretty good. All right. Okay. Here we go. Last question. You played with three players in your career who had more than 100 sacks.
Uh-huh.
JT. Finished with 139 and a half. Trace had more than 100. And as you said, Strahan. So you played with three of those guys and a lot of other incredible defensive linemen. If you could put together the ultimate front four, you've got one play, it's 4th and 10 to win the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. You guys got to go stop the other team. One pass rush. Who's on that front four?
I can mix and match anybody.
Mix and match. This has to be someone you played with.
Man, I gotta go with my guy, man, here. And I got to bring JT out there on the right because he and I called. We did a lot of damage, right? And then I will also bring in Trace. I would bring in Trace. I would put Trace at left end, JT at right end, and I would bring Strahan in and say, look, you got to do what I did, and you 40 pounds heavier.
Okay.
You go at whichever tackle you want, I go to the other side.
Okay, so Baby Bromell is the fourth guy, of course.
I'm the fourth guy.
There it is. Right. That's your 2-1 drill right there. I think they got off the field.
I told you, absolutely. I started on Nickel or Dime. I got to be there.
I like that crew. I like that crew right there. Oh, man, that was fun. That's we knew this was going to be high.
We did, man.
Yeah, and everybody I reached out to, they were like, I don't think that any of them are going to miss this episode because they were
cool,
looking forward
man.
To it. I'm so glad we connected, man. I didn't know you're just right up the road. You're only a few hours away.
Yeah,
so you got to stay in touch with us.
I definitely will, man. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, OJ. This is an awesome podcast. Thank you, Cass. And thank you, audience. I hope y'all enjoyed it. It's been a pleasure. God bless. Keep pressing on.
Hey, thanks for diving in, Lo.
Yes, sir.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Just like Drew said, thanks for diving into the fish tank presented by iHeartRadio. Be sure to follow us on whatever streaming platform you're using, and don't be afraid to rate the show or leave us a comment. We love your feedback. And remember, you can find us as well as Drive Time with Travis Wingfield and all of our international partners on MiamiDolphins.com.